peace. The storm surrounding me, let it break. At your name, still call the sea to still, the rage in me to still, every wave. At your thank you.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
I stood in front of a bunch of prisoners out at the work camp. And that afternoon, I believe it was that afternoon, I'd been in prayer saying, God, how am I supposed to talk to these prisoners? What do you want me to say to them? And the Father said, talk to them just like you're talking to the church. Just like you'd talk to anybody else. So what do you want me to talk about? Talk to them about mercy. Mercy. Well, Father, what do you want me to say to them about mercy? He said, when you get before the prisoners, ask them that the fact that they were caught, was that an act of judgment or mercy? Because most of them said, Bill, they didn't belong there. This is a mistake. I'm falsely accused. I don't deserve this. Now, I'm sure there's some situation that get through the crack, but they're not all angels. I mean, let's face it. And do you know that there were many that believed that the fact they were caught, that was judgment? And in a sense, it is. I mean, the law is put in place to maintain order, and so there was a sense of righteous, we pray righteous, judicial management of crime so that there was a judicial outcome where they are restrained or corrected. But I challenge them, if you can only hear the voice of God and be changed on the inside by the Spirit of God, then you will not come back to this place. Then does this become a place of judgment or mercy? They all thought it was judgment. I said, but what if God actually loves you so much that He refuses you the privilege of driving off the cliff? He actually stopped your reckless careening life and brought you to a place of isolation. Stopped your destruction for a moment so you could hear that God so loved the world. What if God did that so that today would be your day of new beginning and new grace and mercy and salvation? I believe Amos is a book like that message. You see, because in chapter 4, verse 6, I brought hunger to every city and famine to every town, but still you wouldn't return. Do you remember what God said He always did? First, I warn you through my servants, the prophets. Now listen, if hunger and famine is in a town, but the prophets don't warn the people, you know about the watchman, right? If the watchman sees what's coming and then warns the people and the people don't listen, then who's responsible? The people. What if the watchman sees what's coming but holds the message and doesn't release it? Then who's going to be more responsible? The watchman. God says, I always first through my servants bring a warning. God will find servants that will sound a warning. Their servants are sounding a warning. I'm not a lone voice. Elijah said, I'm the last one. God said, no, you're not. There's 7,000 others. Don't be so impressed with your righteousness, right? I brought hunger to every city, but still you wouldn't return. Look at verse 7. I kept rain from falling when you needed it the most, ruining all your crops. I sent rain on one town, withheld it from another. Rain fell in one field while another field withered. People staggered from one town to another for a drink of water, but there was never enough. But what? Still, you wouldn't return to me, says the Lord. Now listen, when Jonathan Cahn blows the shofar, God raises up a prophetic Jewish voice in our nation that boldly calls this rebellious nation back to himself. Well, this group won't listen because, well, he's not one of us. And, you know, he's not of our denomination. And, you know, and so we can't, and he's maybe too strong in the things of the Holy Spirit. We don't quite agree with that stuff. So we're not going to, no, we're not really going to let his warning out. God let his warning out anyway. Whether pastors wanted their people to hear it or not, I believe it was into the millions of people that have tuned in to listen to what God is speaking through a voice that is not willing to compromise. You know, the return, the call to awake, watching those speakers, those individuals praying, seeing the passion and compassion of both young and old, I am thrilled to see that there's a Sean Foyt that is out here calling our nation to worship. He's on the grounds in Washington. He's in West Palm Beach. He's out in California. He's bringing black brothers and Spanish brothers and sisters, and they're lifting up Jesus. And if the communities didn't let them do it, they did it anyway. They called it a protest. If they could get permits, they got permits. If not, they protested the darkness and the wickedness. There are baptisms in California with over 1,000 people being baptized. Listen, we are in the midst of a great landslide into hell, but we're also in the midst of a shaking where God is saying, listen, those of you who will hear, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 9, I struck your farms and vineyards with what? Blight. Mildew, locusts devoured your fig and olive trees. But what? Still you wouldn't return to me. This is not judgment. This is mercy. Dick Tolles used to say, in this life, you will be punished by your sins, but in eternity, if you're not forgiven, you will be punished for your sins. The Word tells us that what is planted is going to grow. If you sow to the wind, you're going to inherit a whirlwind. Here is the word of God. You've read this. I've read this. Who's going to speak this if we don't? Someone has to stand up and say, God is being merciful to us. Someone will say, well, this person died and this person lived. Why is that? Well, I just read here where one city had rain, one city didn't. What's God trying to do? He's trying to awaken whoever will listen. And the church should be a place of safety. It should be a place of truth. It should be a place where there's answers. It should be a place where the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding and directing. The church should be at the forefront of this. The leaders in the church should not be silent. I shouldn't say this, but I will. It makes me sick. My mother used to say, I'm sick and tired. She was tired because she got tired of being sick. I'm sick and tired of the leaders of evangelical organizations that fail to stand up and take a position against the work of the devil that's going on in my nation. God hasn't put me in that place, so I can't do it. That's probably why, because no one wants somebody like me there. But by the grace of God, whatever stage you have, stand up for God. Tomorrow you may not have that freedom. Oh, don't say that, Pastor. That could never happen in our nation. It's already happened in our nation. When we have families, they're threatening them to release them from their jobs if they do not get the vaccine. When we have a government that's mandating, when we know that we're not being told the truth and the records are not being given to us, when we know that is going on, we have already lost more than you would ever believe. And do you think it's an accident that churches were closed? I believe the devil would love to have seen more churches shut down and more people drop out of church. I guess while I'm out of the boat, I'm just going to be out of the boat. About 30% of the church has returned to the buildings. In fact, now we have t-shirts. The church has left the building. Okay, praise God. The church was never contained by a building. But only about 30% have returned. Why is that? Why is that? Now, many of these people are professing Christian people. Many of them are professing Spirit-filled Pentecostal people. You tell me why you are forsaking the assembling of yourself together with the body of Christ. You tell God why you're stopping to do that. The Word says in the last days, this would be the case. We are in the last days, and this is the case. Smile, smile. It'd be good for all of us. Just a smile. I remember my mother and father saying, unless you're dying, you're going to be in church. So, you know, they had castor oil. They had, maybe it was motor oil. I don't know. It was just disgusting, I can tell you that. And then they had this liniment stuff. It said on the side, that it was for external or something use only. And here, take a big spoon of this. If you think you're dying, then we're going to lose you anyway. Here, go ahead and take a spoon of this. Here, take a spoon of this. You know, and by the time all that's going on, I'm like, I'm going to die. I never died. I decided it was better for me just to go to church. Listen, family, the church has lived and had services in catacombs. The church, the vibrant church, the living church, has been arrested and taken to a stake, and the lions were released, and they stood there and declared that Jesus was Lord. We are so soft in this nation that we don't know how to stand up for anything. We're too silent and we're not visible with our faith. Amen. I'm trying to smile. Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. Lunch is coming. McLean will get hungry. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not sure you want to look at verse 10. But I have a verse 10 in my Bible. I sent plagues against you like what? Plagues I sent against Egypt. Long ago. See, nothing just happens. Say, well, I believe this snuck by God. I think this season of world history, you know, some would say, I just think God isn't, you know, he's busy with something, some other planet. You know, people have all kinds of weird, crazy ideas. No. God is sending mercy, and he's saying, listen, America, listen, will you awaken, stir your hearts, and come back to me? Am I the only one that's stirred during these days?
No!
I mean, is it okay that I'm passionate to see people saved? To see their life preserved. I told the doctor of life, I said, I'm going to work the front desk, the front office for you. And I was told that the doctor didn't have a front desk person. He said, yeah, I'm the front desk person. I'll work the front desk. I'll field the calls. I'll call these people. I'll talk to these people. Are these godly people? Are these people who want help? Are these people that want to live? I'll pray with them. Intercede with them. You may say, I'm not called to do what Jonathan does. You know, I could never go on the radio. I could never do all this stuff. Listen, you can be a front office person for somebody. You can do something for God. You can be a voice for God. You can touch somebody's life. And we must do it. We must do it. I sent plagues among you like the plagues I sent against Egypt long ago. I killed your young men in war and slaughtered all your horses. The stench of death filled the air. But still you wouldn't return to me, says the Lord. I destroyed some of your cities as I destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. As I destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Those of you who survived were like half-burned sticks snatched from a fire. But still you wouldn't return to me, says the Lord. Therefore, I will bring upon you all these further disasters I have announced. Prepare to meet your God. Prepare to meet your God as He comes in. Oh, you mean mercy comes first? Mercy knocks, 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 knocks. Mercy. But then the day comes when the message, don't be concerned about the doctor that tells you, you know, you need to get your house in order. You're not going to be around very long. We need to be listening to what God's saying. You look at all the things that have come to our nation and how minimal. Even with the towers, when that happened, I remember saying, God, what is going on? And the Holy Spirit said to me, maybe to nobody else but to me, the gates have been left open. We no longer have watchmen. Spiritual watchmen with authority guarding the gates over the nation. We have imposters who are hirelings that are filling the offices in the church instead of having those who are prophetic voices that are serving me alone. Now thank God there's many voices. You can tell the difference. Tell the difference. Prepare to meet your God as He comes in judgment, you people of Israel. I've got to at least show you a couple scriptures in Habakkuk. You've got to see a couple. You've got to see a couple. Maybe God will let me finish this next week. Say, Jonathan, why do you say that? Why do you say that? Because I am under such attack that I don't know from day to day whether God's keeping me or taking me. Now that sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? And I'll tell you why. Because I said, Father, it doesn't matter. You are sovereign and you're in charge. I'd like to stay and I'd like to duke it out for another 50 good years. I'd like to see some of these demonic strongholds exposed and defeated And I want to see what you've shown me, where I've seen like a flood of people come through this city. Stuart, downtown, people that are coming to God. The high school, thousands, no signs. I'm a First Presbyterian, I'm a First Assembly, no signs, only Jesus. Jesus is Lord of my life, crying out to God for mercy and salvation over the nation. I've seen it in the Spirit. I've sat in my living room and I've looked into the fireplace and I've seen by the Holy Spirit where the countenance and the faces of people that I've known since I was a child, their faces showed up in the fire. And God said to me, "For which one of them did I not die? I've called you. Do not compromise. Speak my word. Stand strong. It's my job to reach them. You tell them, I'll sell them. It's not your job to worry about the selling. You tell them, I'll sell them." Yes, I want to live to see all of that. I want to live to see my son Andrew come walking in and say, "Hello, my name is Andrew Michael McLean. I speak over him. Andrew, you will speak. You will sing and you will shout. And you will glorify God." My wife and I, we stand on the Word of God. People go, "Well, what if it never happened?" Well, if it doesn't happen here, it's going to happen in the air. But it is going to happen. It's going to happen. I want to live to see my son, Jay, come into the full calling that God has on his life. I pray over him every day. My prayer is, God, you made him to be a leader of leaders. And however that happens, I don't care. I don't care about jobs. I don't care about money. I don't care about what he could become. I care that he becomes the leader that God's called him to be. I pray for your children. I stand with you in prayer. I'm believing that God is working right now, this morning, while you are here. I'm coming down the street in the big boat. One of my neighbors loading up the boat, checking the cooler, coming out of the house. You know, my prayer is, God, get them. God, get them. God, get them. You know, the waterways are filled. The shopping market is full. You know, there's people in the mountains. There's people on holiday all over the place. But where is the church? Do you know if the people in this region who call themselves Christians came to church on one Sunday, there would not be room in any of the churches to seat the people? There are more people that call themselves Christians outside than there are that gather. And God is desiring to deliver a throne room message to those who will hear. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Kide de meko sheparoto. Hallelujah, kide de meko sheparata. And to all of you pastors who are Spirit-filled that quit talking in tongues, you're not praying in the Spirit, you're not worshiping in the Spirit, and you're no longer in a church where you can speak what the Holy Spirit is putting on you, you need to get in front of the altar and say, "God, I repent of compromise," and come back to God. Come back to God. Come back to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning during the singing, I wasn't watching. I don't know who was shouting. I don't know who was clapping. I don't know what was going on. But it sounded to me like I was caught up in the heavens for a few moments. And I just heard a bunch of shouting and worship. And it wasn't just from the hands, it was from hearts that was saying, "God, we are hungry for more of you." Somehow I believe that these three ladies that have been calling people to come and pray, come and seek God, God's going to honor what they're doing. God's going to honor them. As they talked about Tent America this year, they said, "We are the only tent in the state of Florida." I believe I understood that.